Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the NWAC South Fast Break Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 9:30 Pacific Daylight Time, and then when basketball season really gets rolling, it'll be Pacific Standard Time. Of course, I am Greg Crawford. I host this show each week. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops or at my brand. I am so sorry. Yeah, there we go. Now I can get in the mood to get going here. I apologize for that. A little sneeze there. It happens from time to time. Everybody on the radio, and we don't have a cough button here on Blog Talk Radio. Hopefully, maybe we'll get the one pretty soon. But anyway, I was mentioning my new brand new web sports page, www.gregorycrawfordsports.wordpress.com. On this show, NWAC South Fast Break Show, we talk to four great coaches, four great human beings who are shaping the lives of young men and women way beyond the basketball floor. And I might add that if you can't listen live to this program, it's podcasted forever. So don't worry about that. You can always be able to hear it. We always start this program off with Trevor Hoff, the outstanding men's coach at Southwestern Oregon Community College. And Trevor, good evening to you. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really great. How are you, Greg?
I'm doing very good. And, you know, I always kind of start this program, as you know, Trevor, with you. And kind of I open with four great coaches who are shaping the lives of young men and women way beyond the basketball floor. And I firmly believe that. I'm convicted to that. But let me ask you, what do you feel your responsibility is in leading young men as a basketball coach and then being involved in a school that has young women? What do you take away from that that you need to accomplish every day?
Well, that's a great question to start us off tonight. You know, I think we have a great responsibility to be role models for the young men we coach and, you know, and the men and women I teach in the classroom. So I think one of the things that I try to do is that I just try to be a good, strong role model on work ethic, on just how to do things hopefully the right way, and how try to stress how important education is and how everybody's journey is different and that we can all accomplish our goals and if we work really hard. And so it's a unique platform, and there's a lot more to that going on to it, but I think I just start off by like I said, trying to be a good role model.
And I know that you have succeeded. You know, how much are good role models needed nowadays, especially with, there's so much media attention out there. We've added in the past 6 years Blog Talk Radio that we do this on strictly on the Internet. It's highly successful. Anyone can write a blog. Every ounce is covered. I was talking, Trevor, with my good friend Chris Haynes, who used to cover the Blazers here. Now he moved to Cleveland and covers the Cavaliers. And he says the people are so intent on LeBron James in Cleveland, they want to know how many times he sneezes in a day. What is a good role model?
Well, I think it's, and you know you're right about all that stuff, but I think role models and mentors and teachers and coaches are just very important in this day and age. And I think it starts by having a servant attitude, having, a caring attitude. And we just need to let our students know and our student athletes know that we care and not just by saying it, but by showing it. I think, you know, we show it in a lot of different ways by just taking the next few minutes to talk to somebody about how their classes are or how something's going on back home, how their folks are, how the brother and sister's doing, you know, just little things like that, you know, but maybe opening up the weight room so they can get in and lift more or help them with some shots. Just being there and being present for them, I think that's an important thing. And I think back in my life and all the great role models or mentors, as I like to call them, I've had, and they've all had such a big impact on my life. I'm hoping that I can just do a partial job of what they've done, and if I do that, I know I'll have done a good job.
Very well said. Trevor, there's this debate going on that was pretty hot last week. It didn't take Deflategate off the sports pages or how Tiger Woods was doing, but it was pretty interesting debate, and I'd like to relate it to you being the basketball coach of Southwestern Oregon Community College. Do you like to name your starters ahead of time so everybody knows who they're going to be and like that, or do you want the competition to go as far as you can go without naming them? It was brought up because Pete Carroll doesn't ever name starters, and sometimes he shocks people, and Bill Belichick always names his starters way in advance.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, and I think I go towards the competition, and hey, we got open competition here, and it's open right now, and we're gonna let it fly and see what happens. It usually plays out, and the players usually know how it's going to play out, and they understand that there's usually not much shock with any of that stuff. But I'm definitely, you know, you got to come in and earn everything, and we're going to compete, and you know, everybody's going to have their chance, and everybody has their chance every day in practice or workouts and in the weight room and things like that.
Trevor, final question for you, and you get the first shot at these questions, and it's a little unfair each week because the guys get a chance to listen to my questions. I have a tendency to get a theme going, at least until we get into the season. But have you ever had, and I'm sure you have, this is a dumb question, players that just stunk in practice? They just were not good practice people, but you knew you could count on them in the game.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as say they stunk, but there are definitely some guys that you could count on when the lights came on or when it was a Saturday night or whatever it was, and they always seemed to step up in certain situations or big times when you need it, you know. But it's kind of hard to explain. They always were hard workers. It's not like they were dogging it or anything, but they were hard workers, and maybe, you know, mentally they weren't always into it or whatever, but come game time, they, you know, I've definitely had some guys that it's like, okay, we know this guy's ready to go and we can count on him. So definitely that's happened.
Trevor, great job as always opening up the program. It's not always the easiest thing to do, but you do a fabulous job. You set the tone for the night. And we'll talk to you again next Tuesday night when actually it will be September 1st, and that means it won't be very far away.
That's right, no doubt. Well, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it, and have a good rest of the week.
You betcha I will. Now let's go to Bruce Trofka at Lane State University, also known as Lane Community College in Eugene, Oregon. Bruce, same question to you that I asked Trevor, in that I always say that all the four of you are shaping the lives of young men and women way beyond the basketball floor. What does that particularly mean to you, or what do you feel is your responsibilities, not only as a basketball coach, but someone that interacts with students on a daily basis?
Greg, I'm just happy that I'm not the first coach on the show, because you ask some pretty challenging questions and Coach Hawk can think really well on his feet. I'm glad he goes first and not myself. But You know, I think Coach Hop did a great job talking about being a role model. You know, I think Steve Sarkisian's probably having a pretty rough week this week, and he's probably not the best role model to bring up. But I think role model is a great thing. I think two things that I think are really important are expectations. How do we roll? What are we about? What are we trying to be? You know, so setting the tone with how we roll off the court, setting the tone, how we're, what we do on the court, what the expectations are. And I think you can, I think as a coach, expect the world in your classrooms, expect the world on your practice venue, and hopefully you get a continent in the meantime. You know, I think it's hard to get the world from a human being, you know, 18 to 26, 28, 28 years old every single day, but I think, you know, if you, the expectation is we want the world from you because we love you and that's what's best for you and our family, then hopefully that you can get that continent kind of thing, and that builds up daily and have championship expectations and habits as a family and the team and in the classroom kind of thing. And the other thing I think is relatability. I think regardless of, you know, if you're that 72-year-old coach, Eddie Sutton kind of coach, you know, you're in the twilight years, or you're a young whippersnapper like, I don't know, Brad Stevens of the Celtics or something like that. I think you got to relate to your kids. And I think, you know, young people, regardless of their age, they pick up pretty fast if you can relate to them and not really speak their language, but speak language that they understand kind of thing. So I think you know, along with being a good role model and those two things, I think that all sort of intertwines with this, the whole deal you're trying to create.
Very good. Great answer there. Bruce, let me ask you about the question about that's being debated around the country right now, which is kind of fun. Do you, and I know it could vary from team to team, I'm not that stupid, but do you like naming your starters early, or do you want that competition to go up so everybody wants to keep flying around? And it's a great debate, actually.
I think it's a non-issue or non-debate. I love Pete Carroll, read his books and every article I can get on him. Love the culture he created at USC and is brought over to the Seahawks. You know, I was devastated when they crushed my Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl. But I think you can't name your starters, in my opinion. If I was having to give a coaching clinic or some advice to a coach, you know, if they asked, if they cared kind of thing, I would say absolutely not. I think that that's a great way to breed complacency. I think, you know, I was working at a camp this summer in Hawaii, and in walked a kid from Hawaii. And a coach said, "Hey, there's my starting point guard." The kid's never been on this coach's campus. He signed with him and committed. And I was like, my mouth dropped, and I just sort of stepped back and listened to the whole conversation. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I would never do that, because now that kid thinks that, you know, he's the starting point guard and he doesn't have to go earn it and that kind of thing. I think even with our returners, as much as I love returners every year in and year out, you know, I let them know, sort of shoot the gun across the bow or whatever that deal is, that, hey, the expectations are even higher for you, that you compete that much more, that you give that much more effort, that you're a leader on and off the court. And if you don't live up to that, then, you know, we're going to have issues, and it might, you know, definitely reflect your playing time kind of thing. So that naming the starter stuff is, that's only for a genius like Belichick. I'm not his level, or will I probably ever be his level. So I think you got to have, I think Pete Carroll called them competition Tuesdays or whatever those are, compete Tuesdays, whatever he calls them. But, yeah, naming those starters or letting guys know that, hey, you're the man going into the seat season, that kind of thing. It's like, absolutely no way. Let's start from scratch and, you know, break it down a little bit and try to get even better for this upcoming year kind of thing.
Bruce, final question for you. Got a little less than a couple minutes. How do you like to relate people and how they practice? And I guess me being in the golf business and around golf all my life practically, Jordan Spieth doesn't like, just likes to go out and play. Tiger Woods will hit golf balls until it's dark, and then the sun comes up. So how do you feel about practice?
Love practice, you know, and I think you mentioned you had a conversation with Coach Hoff about being a gamer. I don't play that game. I mean, when a player says, oh, Coach, I'm a gamer, all of a sudden we have issues, you know, and if they say it in the recruiting process, we move along. We don't even bother with that young man. But if a kid, you know, brings that mentality to us, we try to nip that in the bud as soon as possible. I think the only way you get better as a team as an individual is every day in practice, to use that word everybody uses, grinding it out. I think that's the most important thing. I mean, I think it goes back to Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. You know, when they were in their prime, they were like, we're not playing in the summer. We're not playing pickup games. We're working on deficiencies in our game, you know, putting it on the floor with our left hand, finishing with our left hand, free throws, blah, blah, blah. But I think that gamer mentality, that's a red flag for me, man. That's just not something we want in our mentality, our culture, and that kind of thing. So we try to break that habit as soon as we can.
Bruce, thanks for the great candid answers tonight. We got a lot of opinions flowing, and we love it. You have a good week, and we'll talk to you again when it'll be September 1st.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Have a good night.
You betcha. Thank you. Excuse me for coughing there. And now let's go to Tony Broaddus, the outstanding head coach at Portland Community College. I love their nickname, the Panthers. I love animal nicknames. Tony, how you doing tonight?
Doing great, Greg. Absolutely wonderful. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. We got a rolling program tonight, Tony, but when was your last home run that you hit in softball? Everybody's always asking me that.
It was the home runs have become few and far between, Greg. For some reason, I had a shortage of power this year in the season, man. But I'm going to work out this year. If you know a connection for some of that deer antler spray, let me know, so because I got to come back powerful next year in the game of softball.
well, you know, Vijay Singh used that. You know, professional golfer. Now no one wants to talk to him. So, you know, maybe you better get away from that, Tony.
So maybe that's a bad idea. Yeah, I don't want to be like VJ, man.
Yeah, they're all accusing him of cheating. Tony, what does it mean to you to not only be a basketball coach, but you have so many students that you've coached in the past that I know personally contact you still and talk to you and you have to be a mentor, role model to these people. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. It really does. You know, as a kid, as a young man, as a teenager, I looked up at guys and watched what they did and emulated them. You know, your coaches, your little league coach, your high school basketball coach, your middle school coach, and even guys that are just a few years older than you. You watch, and then you learn from them, and you kind of follow, but kind of subconsciously a little bit, but you do what they do, and next thing you know, you're a young man on your own way. So I try to be a guide to guys, try to be a mentor, and, you know, I enjoy doing it.
Tony, what about you've coached a championship team in the NWAC and in high school, at Grant High School, in a highly competitive state and regional situation. How about that debate about naming the starters and or wait until, you know, you really get almost to the first game? And you know what? I actually, after I read all about this, I can see both sides. So what's your take on it?
Yeah, to me it depends on the season or in what year your guys are. You know, early on, you don't name your starters early. You know, your first year at a program, or you got a bunch of new guys, everything's a battle. And, you know, and that goes all the way through the season. It's always a competition, but you hope to settle in on a five and let that starting five grow together in confidence and ability to play with each other and let those reserves learn their role and get pride in their role. That's how you build a championship team. So, no, yeah, you know, we're not going to say this is our five, you know, right away. But if this five establishes themselves and does all the things they're supposed to do, heck yeah, this is our five. and you really want to come back with a five next year. If you can return a whole starting five, that's a real good ticket to a championship possibility if the guys do all the right things.
Very good. And a final question for you, Tony. What about the practice situation? See, I could never play for Coach Chopka because I go out and play golf and I hit about 10 balls and I could care less about practicing, which I probably could be a lot better. But then I can go out and play pretty good golf. I realize it's different than basketball. And it's not so much that people are not trying to practice, but some people just don't practice well, I think.
Yeah, well, that's when coaching comes in. If they're not practicing well, then it's the coach's job to get you to change your practice habits or do different things so that you do practice well. Now, if you're an adult and you're trying to work on your golf game, like you said, then that's another story. You're going to have to get some momentum and some guidance from your own self, I guess.
Yeah, that is true. Do you have you ever ended a practice, Tony, in your coaching career and says, guys, it ain't working, that's it, we're going downstairs, and that's it for tonight?
Well, yeah, I would do that, but if I've ever done that, ended a practice early like that, we're not going to end. They're not going to get to go home. You know, we might say, okay, down in the locker room and we have some team meeting or we get down there and do some conditioning or something. I'm never going to end it and let them go home. To me, that's bad business because the guys will begin to think, hey, if things get too chaotic, coach just might cancel practice. You know, on those dog days of practice when you don't have a game for 5 or 6 days and you're grinding it out. No, we're not getting out of practice no matter what. We're working it out.
Great job tonight, Tony, per usual. Next week I want to talk about all the home runs you've hit. How's that sound?
Well, that'll be a short conversation, Craig. This year I did not hit the home run. I used to be a power hitter. I don't know what's going on.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Tony. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again, as I've said every day night. It'll be September 1st, and when September runs around, we're going to get real serious on this program because that's basketball time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me.
You betcha. That's Tony Broaddus, Portland Community College head men's basketball coach, joining us on a regular basis. Here's another guy that joins us and closes out the program each week, Cliff Wagner from Clackamas Community College. And let's see, get Cliff on here. Come on, Cliff. There we go. Cliff, can you hear me?
Clackamas coach. He's not on, so he might have to come back.
Hello, Cliff. Well, we're having, boy, this has been a bad week for me on Blog Talk Radio. I apologize. We're having some technical difficulties bringing Cliff on. So, Cliff, I'm going to have you hang up, and I'm going to have you call back in if you can hear me. All of a sudden, we're having some technical difficulties, and, boy, I tell you, I have had a tough week doing radio shows this week, and I apologize to our listeners. I really want to hear from Cliff, but we're not able to do so right now. I can't hear him, and that is very, very disturbing to me. I'll have Cliff hang up and call back in, and we'll go from there. Hopefully we'll be able to get him on. I get disgusted when these things happen, and I apologize to our listeners for sounding disgusted, but I love it when Cliff closes out the program, but for some reason, technically, I am not able to bring Cliff on tonight. So, you know what, Oh wow! I'm complaining. I'm sounding like a grumpy old man, and I am right now because for some reason we're having technical difficulties, or there is a problem. Maybe with Cliff's phone. I don't mean to throw him under the bus there with that, but Cliff. Oh boy, just not able to get Cliff on. Are you there, Cliff? Cliff is not there. It sounds like I'm hearing him, but I'm not hearing him. I apologize. We're going to try something a little different here, but I can guarantee you at some point this week I will get Cliff Wagner on to answer these questions. But right now we are having technical difficulties. And we had technical difficulties on a program that I do on Sling that, and probably nobody can hear me at all out there. So I am going to. Are you there, Cliff? Hey, Cliff, you're there.
Hear me?
There you are, Cliff.
I'm still here. I'm good.
Thanks for hanging in there. I'm sorry about that.
Well, I tried hanging up and redialing, so I'm glad to finally be here, and I'm glad that basketball's finally close to the horizon. Some things happened last weekend kind of get me started on basketball, and I've been telling you all summer how much I've been enjoying things, and I did go trout fishing tonight, but certainly got my eye on basketball now. Looking forward to it starting up in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, and Cliff, do you have a paper and pencil there? Because I think I'm going to have you call in and start. I should have you call in and start the next program that I do at 10 o'clock. But I wanted to ask you your thoughts. I wanted to ask you about the practice question. How important is practice in basketball? And I'm sure not all players that are really talented practice that well, and it doesn't mean they're being lazy or don't care. They just don't practice that well.
Well, it usually means they're being lazy, Greg. I've got to disagree with you. And if my players are listening to the show tonight, I'd like to say very clearly that if you don't practice hard and you can't focus and show us that in practice, then I'm not – going to be a believer. You can show that in games when there's more distractions. So I don't accept that. And I've had players that, for whatever reason, they just would give me a bad practice every 3 or 4 days. And they were just like that. And but they suffered for it in terms of their playing time and their ability to challenge to be counted on as a starter. So that's how I feel.
Okay, let me ask you this question. How do you correct that? I mean, how do you correct somebody that doesn't practice well? You're a championship coach. What do you do?
You don't. Yeah, they have to correct it. You know, all you can do ultimately is explain the choices and give them direction. But, you know, they just have to do it. And it's just a matter of hard work and will and discipline. And they either have it or they don't. You can guide them and you can explain what it means to be committed, but the choice to be committed is theirs and theirs alone.
Hey, Cliff, you know what I'm going to ask you to do here, if you don't mind? I'm going to have you write down this number, and you don't have to do it if not, but we're in this program, and I feel so bad that we couldn't get you on Sunday and had technical difficulties. So if you call 929-477-1984. That's going to start out our next program where we have the coaches on from the West and South, but I'll start you out on that program and we'll have you finish up this.
You want me to do that right now?
Yeah, do that right now and I'll get you on. I'll log out of here and I'll have you hold in there and we'll go from there.
Sounds good. I'll be right there.
Very good. And it'll take me a while to get there, but I'll be there. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening tonight. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We'll get them shaped up.